Luke chapter 22, we're going to begin reading in verse number 31. Read down to verse number 34. Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 31 down to verse 34. Follow along if you would in your Bible as I read aloud. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. I want you to look back at verse number 31 where I'm going to find the idea for the message this morning. The Lord said, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. I want to preach a message this morning I've entitled, What the Devil Wants. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, thank you for this service this morning, this gathering of believers, this opportunity to be under the sound of the preaching of the Word of God. And Father, may we count it a joy. And Father, count it an honor and a privilege to be able to have the freedom to meet as we do today. We pray for those in Puerto Rico, Father, those experiencing the terrible results of the storms that have gone through. Lord, for the believers that are there, that God, you would just provide for them in a supernatural way. God, meet their needs. We pray for our service here this morning that, Father, you would meet the needs that we have. Father, they're not like the needs of those in Puerto Rico. Father, our needs this morning are not material, but they are greatly spiritual. And I pray, Father, you give us some enlightenment from your word. I pray you give us some information. Father, some awareness and some warning. Now that, Lord, we might be able to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ in these evil days. Bless your word to each and every heart. We pray most of all, should there be one today in our midst that's never committed their heart and life to Jesus Christ. Lord, they're holding back for one reason or another. Father, today would be the day that you would show them their need to completely lean upon Jesus Christ for salvation and eternal life. And they'd come believing today in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Bless your word to each and every heart. Do your office work, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said to Peter, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift you as wheat. I want to declare to you this morning that this preacher believes in the existence of a devil. Not a spirit of evil, not a negative force, and not some just generic influence for bad that's in the world, but I believe that there is a real and literal person called the devil. Now, that might shock some people. Probably not anybody in this auditorium, but a lot of folks would be shocked and say, Preacher, how can you in this enlightened age, in this day of progressive thinking, how can you really seriously contend or believe that there is a real entity called the devil or Satan? We're not in the dark ages anymore. We don't live in the past. Don't you catch up with the times and understand that it's not like it used to be? Well, I want to tell you very quickly this morning before I get into the message, I want to give you two reasons why I believe in the existence of the devil. The first reason is very simple and very clear. It's because the Bible declares him to be real. There is more information about the devil in Scripture than there is about most Bible characters that we firmly believe existed. Descriptions of the devil are so precise and detailed. They're so accurate and informative that they just have to be true. The three main titles or names for this character in the Bible, of course, as we mentioned already, his first name recorded in Scripture was Lucifer. Back in Isaiah chapter 14, the name of this one that we know as the devil, his name was Lucifer. Now, we don't have time to go in this, but I would simply declare to you that the name Lucifer was not a bad name. We associate it with evil now. Even Cinderella's stepmom's cat, that wicked, ungodly, mean-looking cat, was named Lucifer. And we envision that as negative. But I want to tell you, the name Lucifer means son of the morning. And it was a name given to a great angel created by God along with Michael and Gabriel. There was Lucifer. And it was a very wonderful and positive and brightening name. But something happened to that creature. According to Isaiah chapter 14, he rebelled against God in heaven, and God cast him and one third of the angels out of heaven down to earth, and his name was changed. He's no longer called Lucifer, that seven-letter name like Jehovah and Savior and Michael and Gabriel. That heavenly name was exchanged for an earthly name, and that name was Satan. Jesus said, "I beheld and saw Satan fall from heaven as lightning." He exchanged that name, that wonderful name, for a negative name, Satan, and the other term given to him, the devil. Both five-letter names, like the number in death, and the number of other things that are negative in the Scriptures. So I believe in him because the Bible designates his title and his name and declares that he exists. But even beyond that, more information is given, not necessarily titles to him, but he is called so many things, so much information is given about him in the Bible that he can't just be this invisible, negative, evil force. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, he's called the accuser of the brethren. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, he is called our adversary. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and 4, the Bible says that he appears as an angel of light. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, he is described as a deceiver. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 39, he is declared to be our enemy. In John chapter 8, verse 44, this is a great verse about the devil, and three things are told to us. Not only is he a liar, but he is the father of lies. And John 8:44 also declares him to be a murderer. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, he is described as the god of this world. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 declares he is the prince and the power of the air. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 again says he is a roaring lion. Luke chapter 11, verse 15 describes him as the chief of the devils. Revelation 12, 9 says he is a serpent. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3 calls him the tempter. And Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16 describes this one as the wicked one. You see, all this information gathered together gives us a lot of biography about this person called Lucifer, Satan, or the devil. The devil is one of the most notable characters in all of Scripture. He shows up in the beginning of the book of Genesis, and he's there till the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. I believe the devil is real because the Bible declares him to be real. But then there's a second reason. And that second reason is this: simply because though I have not seen him, I have seen what he has done. I'm not going to be one of those that would claim that I've seen the devil. I've seen an epiphany of him, or I've seen him, his snarling face somewhere. I've not seen him, but I've seen the things that he do. Now, many of the things he does are subtle. Many of the things he does are behind the scenes and underhanded. But much of what he does is out in the open. From ruined lives to ruined homes. All of the sin in the world. All of the wickedness. All of the immorality. All of the evil in this world is proof of his existence. Just as we believe in a God that is benevolent and merciful, so there is a devil that is wicked and ungodly. And while there is a God who has a Holy Spirit, a Holy Ghost that is in the world trying to push it toward righteousness, there is a devil whose mission in this world is to destroy and to devour. There is a real and personal devil. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, that people are taken captive by him at His will. You understand, this enemy, this accuser, this tempter is a very powerful creation. He's nothing to laugh at. He's nothing to mock. Those that try to belittle Him, or, you know, I'm not a fan of Stephen King. I'm not a fan of science fiction. I'm not a fan of scaring people for the sake of scaring people, because I believe it tries to break down their fear of things that are real. If we can make folks afraid of things that are science fiction and not real, then we'll break down their resistance to those things. You know, anytime I hear about, and I guess the new movie about the clown from Stephen King is called It or something like that, whenever I hear about these movies that are geared to scare people, I think, you want scared? You let the Lord come back with that trumpet and take the believers out of this world, and you watch the next 7 years, and it will surpass anything any of these people have ever imagined. And the devil is the force, the devil is the one that's behind all of these things. And the Bible says He takes them captive at His will. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." The devil is walking about seeking whom he may devour. That brings me to my first point this morning of the three things that I believe the devil wants. Number one, he wants to target you. The devil wants to target you. He walketh about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is choosing and individually picking out those that He wants to devour. Back at our text in Luke chapter 22 and verse 31, Jesus said to Simon, "Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you." Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. The devil had his bullseye on Simon Peter. You know why. You read the rest of the New Testament and you find out what Simon Peter was used by God to do. And the devil was determined to stop that from happening. Simon Peter is the one on the day of Pentecost that's going to stand up in Jerusalem and preach, and 3,000 are going to be converted to faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. 3,000! Peter is going to be the one that opens the door of salvation to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10 when Cornelius comes to know the Lord as his Savior through the ministry of Simon Peter. And the devil knew that there was potential in this man and God was going to use him, and so he targeted him. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. The devil put his bullseye on Simon Peter. Look back, if you would, at Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, the devil put his bullseye on Adam and Eve. They were targeted, specifically targeted by God, or by the devil. The devil didn't say, God made Adam and Eve. Now, I believe God made Adam and Eve in the context of our Scripture as a replacement for Satan. Satan had rebelled against God, and so God said, you know what? I'm going to make another son of God, only this one I'm going to make in my own image. And he came down to the earth and he put some dust together and he breathed in it the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And that old devil looked upon that and said, now this isn't going to work. I can't have God loving someone and someone loving God. I've got to interject in this thing. So he put his target on Adam and Eve because of their fellowship and closeness to God. And so he came down, as you know, and he tempted Eve in Genesis chapter 3. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. There's that serpent, that's the devil, that's Satan. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." You know what he did? He targeted Eve because he thought that she was easier than Adam. Here's the reason, I believe, is because Adam had been created, and God came down and said to Adam, Adam, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat of it, for the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God told that to Adam. After that, he took a rib out of Adam's side, he caused him to fall asleep, he took a rib out of his side, and from that rib he made a woman, he made Eve. Eve did not hear that direct command from God. Eve got that command from her husband, Adam, who told her God said that. So it's kind of like she got it secondhand. Adam got it direct from God. And so the devil said, if I'm going to get one of them, it's probably going to be Eve. Because she's going by what Adam said that God said. But Adam knows God. You follow me on this? So he targeted the weaker of the two. And so he came down to her and he said, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it. And that's questionable. There's no record that God ever said that. But he said, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. The devil targeted Adam and Eve in the garden, and he got what he wanted. Turn, if you would, over to Job chapter 1. The book of Job chapter 1. There are three times, this is not the message this morning, but there are three times that the devil speaks in Scripture. Though he's mentioned all throughout the Bible, there's three occasions in which the words that he speaks are recorded. The first is in Genesis. The second is in Job and chapter 1. The third, we'll not look at it now, but the third is in Matthew chapter 4. When Jesus is tempted of the devil, and the devil says, command these stones that they be made bread. So on three occasions, his words are recorded. Here in the book of Job in chapter 1, and verse number 6, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And Satan answered the Lord and said, doth not Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made about a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Now the devil is putting a target on Job. He's putting a bullseye on this man that the Bible says he was a perfect and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And the Lord said to Satan in verse 12, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. We don't have time to read through the following verses, but I encourage you to read them later. You know what happened after Job got that bullseye put on his back by Satan, after he was targeted? The Bible tells us, beginning in verse number 13, there was a day where his sons and daughters were eating and drinking. They're having a celebration, a birthday party. I don't know what it was. They were all together. And a great wind came and knocked down the house they were in and killed all his children. Then some Sabaeans, some enemies came in and raided Job's cattle and killed all of his cattle and all of his servants. And only one was spared alive to come back and tell Job what had happened. On a second occasion, he lost all his flocks and all his animals, and one servant was spared. Job went from blessed of God to absolutely nothing. And all for one reason, because the devil had targeted him. And you know the book of Job, by the time this story continues on, not only is it his wealth and his family that's been affected, I mean, even his wife comes to him and says, Job, curse God and die. But then the devil is given permission to touch his body, and from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, he's covered with boils and sores, and he's taking pottery to scrape all these boils off his body, and for 7 days he's in this misery, and he's sitting down and all that, until his friends come And his friends come and they begin piling on all the guilt and everything they can pile upon him. And the source of all of this was the devil who targeted Job. The devil is responsible for every wicked, every evil, every sinful thing that happens. From Cain murdering his own brother Abel, to David's adultery with Bathsheba, the devil's behind it. From Peter cursing and swearing by the fire and denying the Lord three times, to Judas Iscariot betraying the Son of God in the garden with a kiss, the devil is behind the scenes of everything that's going on. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You say, but preacher, I'm not Adam and Eve. I'm not Job. I'm not Simon Peter. I'm just little old me. Well, you know what the Bible says to little old you and me that have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior? And because the devil can no longer possess or gain our soul, he wants to fight us at every turn we can. You know what he says to us in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11? He says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You see, God, the devil defeated Adam and Eve in the garden. The devil defeated David in his act of adultery with Bathsheba. The devil defeated Peter in that battle over him denying the Lord three times. I know not the man. I know not the man. And the devil defeated Judas by having him go out and hang himself. So the Bible says to every one of us, you and I, we need to put on the armor of God to fight against the wiles of the devil. The devil targeted Adam and Eve different from how he targets other people. When he targeted Adam and Eve, they were expelled from the Garden of Eden. When he targeted David, he paid for his sin four times over. When he targeted Peter, he had to be restored to fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When he targeted Judas Iscariot, he went out and hung himself. You and I need to fight the devil with everything that is in us, because he is alive and he's powerful and he's real. The Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse number 7, resist the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Folks, he's real. And he's targeting you and I. Resist him, the Bible says, and he will flee from you. But may I say this, that's James chapter 4, verse 7. That's the second half of the verse. The first half of the verse says this, submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Then it says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You understand, the devil's not afraid of you. The devil's not afraid of me. We're coming up to what many refer to the devil's birthday here at the end of October. Everybody, everything gets dark and everybody looks scary and everybody wants to, and it's just a night of evilness. I know it's kind of cute because some of the kids dress up as princesses and all that, but the whole thing is geared toward frightening. You walk into the stores now, I mean, it's September and it's been there for a while. And everything's out there for Halloween night. The spooks, the goblins, all that. And the devil just rejoices. And he says, I don't have just the world fooled. I've got even believers fooled. They're thinking there's nothing wrong with this. It's innocent. It's simple. And the devil is seeking whom he may devour. And the only way we can defeat him is by resisting him. Do you have it in you to resist the devil? Do you have the faith? Do you have the religious stamina? Do you have the Word of God saturating your being so much that you can resist the devil? When he targets you like he did Adam and Eve, when he targets you like he did David, Peter, or Judas, can you resist the devil and have him flee from you? Not in your own power, not in your own strength. You better be relying on God. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The devil targets us. I have seen in the span of my ministry And even in the span of my Christian life with friends that were believers, I've seen the devil pick them off one by one. I've seen those that one time were vibrant for God and excited about God get melancholy. I see them mellow out. And then eventually the fire burns out. And the devil extinguishes that fire because he's targeting them. The hardest thing for a pastor is to watch his congregation and see when the devil is targeting different people. See, he doesn't work on everybody the same way. He didn't work on Adam and Eve the same way he worked on David. He didn't work on David the same way he worked on Peter. There were different things that he worked. He's very smart, and we need to watch against the wiles of the devil. And you see the devil working in lives of people and the effect that it's having and the direction they're going, and you get alarmed. And you get worried and you get concerned because sometimes we don't take the devil as being real. What does the devil want? He wants to target you. Number two, what does the devil want? And this is simple. He wants to tempt you. He wants to tempt you. What the devil does is he targets you. What he does when he targets you is that he tempts you. Look, if you would, at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 1. Jesus is baptized at the end of Matthew chapter 3 by John the Baptist. And immediately upon his immersion in water in the rivers of the Jordan, it says in chapter 4 and verse 1, Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Jesus was led of the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. The devil targeted the Son of God. The audacity of Satan, the audacity of the devil, to think that he could even contend with Jesus Christ, God in a human body. Yet he knows no fear. And as the enemy of our soul and the enemy of all that's righteous, he decided that he was going to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, and when Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward 100. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Why did he challenge Jesus to change the stones to bread? Well, could he do it? Yes, he was God in a human body. He could have taken those stones and made it a wonderful loaf of wonder bread. He could have made it wheat bread. He could have made it rye bread. He could have made it any kind. He could have done anything he wanted. And wouldn't he be justified? He had just fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and now he's hungry. Who would condemn him for doing that? The only problem is, the only reason he would have done it is because the devil tempted him to do it. And he wasn't going to give in to the temptation of the devil. When the devil targets us, he tempts us. Eve, look at that fruit. Come on, Eve. I mean, you've got 1,000 trees. You've got 999 trees in the garden. But look at that one. Look at the fruit. Doesn't it look good? Doesn't it look luscious? Now, there's no denying that the Bible is accurate because you've raised children. And you tell your children you can have anything but that one. You know which one they want. It's in their DNA. It's in their nature. And God told Adam and Eve, any tree of the garden. But Eve said, no, I want that one. Back in Genesis chapter 3, it said, when Eve saw that the tree was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired, he worked on Eve. Look at that fruit. He worked on David. At the time where all the kings were out to battle, David was up on his rooftop at a time he didn't belong there. And he looked down and he saw Bathsheba. And the Bible said when he saw that she was a beautiful woman. And the devil's just sitting in the background, wringing his hands, waiting his time, trying to get it to happen. The devil targets and the devil tempts. When the woman saw the tree was good, you know, the devil's most successful avenue of attack, or one of his most successful avenues of attack, seems to be through the eyes. If he can get you to see it, he can get you to want it. He can get you to look at it and think about it and contemplate it. He can get you to want it. You know, marketers know that theory real well. If they can show you their newest model of the car, if they can show you the latest gadget or technology or gizmo that's out there, the minute you see it, you know what covetousness is all about? Wanting something you don't have that's better than what you've got, at least you think so, and that usually comes through the eyes. David saw Bathsheba and saw that the woman was beautiful to look upon. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 101 and verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. We've got to guard our eyes. We've got to be careful because the devil is targeting us and he's tempting us, and one of his most successful avenues of temptation is through the eye gate, through what we see. If he can make us see it and make us want it, it's that much easier for him to win the battle. The devil knows this. If he can allure you through the eyes, he can get you to sin. That's why in our day, pornography is a multi-million dollar industry. And pornography, you know, they say, well, that's the magazines at Circle K that are on the rack that should be covered. Or that's the stuff that's, you know, on the computer or on the internet that you try to avoid and not get to. That's pornography. You know what? We have gone in our society so far that pornography is not in those forbidden, wicked, ungodly places. It's on television every single day. Nakedness and nudity and allurement. I mean, again, don't the marketers know that? They put the brand of cigarette or they put the fifth of whiskey and they put a woman in a silk gown or something standing next to it because they know, the devil knows that's how you allure people, is through the eyes. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Coveting is the number one sin of humanity because the devil is targeting and tempting. I wonder how many right now, we can't see this, but in the supernatural realm, the devil is paying attention to what's going on. Now my hope is, and I don't teach this as theology because it's my hope is that when we come in on a Sunday morning and we open that hymn book and we start singing the great hymns of faith, the devil gets nervous and says, I'm checking out of here for a while. Now, I firmly believe that the devil is in this auditorium during the week because his influence is everywhere. He is everywhere. I know he's in this auditorium sometimes because I come in and there's a bat hanging up in the corner up there. All right, that's the devil incarnate right there. If I had a BB gun, I'd pop that little guy. Sometimes he's over on this side. Every time you come into church now, you're going to be looking up the two corners before you come in. And we come in here and we start singing the songs because the devil can't stand the Lord Jesus Christ being magnified and glorified. And so he has to step out for just a little bit of time. But can I tell you this? The minute you step out those doors when church is over, he's out there waiting. He's out there targeting. And he's ready to tempt. And no one here is exempt from that. Again, don't think, well, I'm just nobody. I'm just a little believer. You're a child of God. If you're saved, you're a child of God. And that riles the devil up. And that makes him angry. He lost your soul the day you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. That moment, he lost your soul, and he wants to do anything he can to get the rest of it. So the devil is tempting. The devil targets. And then thirdly and lastly, the devil takes. The devil targets, the devil tempts, and the devil takes. I want you to turn to John chapter 10. The Gospel of John chapter 10 and verse number 10. And I don't believe we're stretching the context here. I think you'll see it as we look at it. John chapter 10. Begin in verse number 9. John chapter 10, verse 9. Jesus said this, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus said, I'm the door. I'm the way of salvation. You come in by me and me only. In verse 10, the thief cometh. And I believe the thief referred to here is the devil. The one that wanted to steal your soul in the first place, but now that he can't, he wants anything else he can take. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. But the thief, he said at the beginning of verse 10, the thief comes but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Because we're saved, the devil cannot get at our soul. Thank God for that. He can't get what's inside of us. But he can affect the outside of us. And he does that when he targets us and he tempts us. So he comes after us. Peter, Satan had desired to have thee, that he may sift you as wheat. He couldn't get Peter's soul, but he could get his testimony. He could get his joy. He could get his gladness, his happiness. And didn't the devil do that? Peter sat there before that fire warming his hands as Jesus was standing there before Pontius Pilate. And one of the maids came over to Peter as he's sitting there in the wrong group of people at the wrong time in the wrong place. And he's sitting there warming his hands and the maid comes down and says, Peter, he said, I think you're one of his disciples. I saw you with him in the garden. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. He denied the Lord and the devil's chuckling. The maid said again to him, No, I know you're one of them. I saw you. You were there in the garden. Maybe she said, weren't you the guy that swung the sword to cut off that guy's ear? And Simon Peter said, I don't know the man. I've told you, I don't know him. I wasn't there. And the devil's grinning. And the third time she came to Peter, she said, I know you're one of them because your speech betrays you. You don't talk like the other guys here around the fire. You don't act like them. You don't fit in here. There's something different about you. And the Bible says he began to curse and to swear, wanting to fit in with the other guys around the table. He began to curse and to swear, and the devil's chuckling. But what happened to Peter? The devil targeted him. The devil tempted him. And you know what the devil did? He took his joy. Because Jesus, the Bible tells us in that account, Jesus turned and looked at Peter. Not a word was spoken. But from that distance where Jesus was led off of that platform where Pontius Pilate was, as he looked down through that crowd and his eyes met Simon Peter's eyes, the Bible tells us that Simon Peter went out and wept bitterly. The devil couldn't get his soul, but he could get his joy. He could get his happiness. He could destroy his fellowship with God. Now, I'm glad to tell you the end of the story in John chapter 21 is the Lord Jesus Christ restored Peter back to fellowship. But all the tragedy he went through because the devil took from him his joy. The devil targeted and tempted Eve. They were expelled from the garden. The devil targeted and tempted David and Peter in different ways, through different methods. You see, you get that? The wiles of the devil, the ways, the tactics of the devil. What the devil can use against me might not work against you. And what the devil can use against you might not work. You know what? He's watched each of us individually. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our holes. He knows our sore spots. And he's just sitting back, wringing his hands. Strike one. Strike two, Peter. Strike three. Your joy's gone. The devil is ready to take. In all three of these cases, with Eve, with David, with Peter, when the devil targeted them, the result was the same. Though his means and methods were different, the end result was the same. Sorrow, sadness, and a broken fellowship with God. Adam and Eve expelled from the garden. David, the loss of four of his children as a result from his sin with Bathsheba. Peter, with broken fellowship, crying. But it doesn't have to be that way. Here's the good news. Here's the end. He's going to target you. He's going to tempt you. And understand when he does. You know, you say, well, you know, just this little thing I'm doing, it's not really wrong, but it's not, you know, it's not right, but it's not really. No, he's targeting and he's tempting. He knows your weakness. He knows where you're going to say, he knows where you're going to blow it off and make an excuse. And he says, that's where I can get him. That's where I can get her. She doesn't see how important it is. She doesn't know what's going on. So he targets and he tempts and then he takes, but he doesn't have to be successful. Adam and Eve didn't have to take the fruit of the garden. David didn't have to sleep with another man's wife. Peter didn't have to deny the Lord 3 times. One of the stories I told you is probably the most devastating of all as far as the devil taking away, and that was Job. The devil took his children. The devil had his wife turn on him. The devil took all his possessions and all of his servants that served him and were paid and liked him. And then the devil put him down with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet in such agony and such pain that you and I probably could never imagine. But in all this, the Bible says that Job sinned not. Instead of the devil wringing his hands, the devil's wiping his brow. Say, what do I got to do to this guy? What do I have to do to get him to curse God and die? What do I got to do to get him to turn away from God and blame God? And you know what Job said? He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. I've been given, it's been taken. But blessed be the name. We don't have to be defeated. The devil doesn't have to win on the individual battles in our life. And then I'm glad to tell you, in the end, the devil is defeated completely and eternally. Don't let him win the battles of life right now. Peter, Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. I wonder if the Lord could come down and tell us right now, he's looking right now at who the devil's targeting. And the Lord knows the area of temptation. And the Lord knows what it is the devil wants to take from you. And God is saying, resist him. Resist him steadfast. Be sober. Be vigilant. Resist the devil. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, we think of the biblical admonition.